You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Calling all men. When was the last time you had a really good cry? A recent survey found that women cry on average 5 times a month, while men cry on average only once a month. Studies have shown that crying can support your mental, your physical, and your emotional health. I'm Radhi Devlukia, and on my podcast, A Really Good Cry, we embrace the real, the messy, and the beautiful. Listen to A Really Good Cry on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Woo, look at that. That was hot. Shout out to LQ, man. Laquan put that together. So we have a little intro, because before we were starting the show and the cameras would come on, we'd stare at it for a second and then we'd start talking. And that was weird and awkward. So now we're weird and awkward after the whole thing goes off, but we're not staring at the camera without saying anything. Welcome to another edition of the Fantasy Cheat Sheet. I'm Marcus. That's Laquan. That's Michael. Fellas, how are we feeling on this Thursday?
Feeling good. It's Friday Junior.
is that what we call it now? Friday Junior? I kind of like
that.
All right. We got plenty of stuff to talk about. Some fantasy related things, some, you know, broadcasting type things. But first, should we start with a little field trip? Is that where we're starting this week?
Probably.
Okay. We had a little field trip earlier this week. The three of us got together to go see Godzilla and Kong, the New Empire. I know we haven't started the Florio Film Festival. Maybe that becomes a staple on this show as opposed to the podcast. We do it on this show. We talk about the movies or something like that. I'm not sure. But Florio, your quick review of the new Godzilla Kong flick.
Yeah, it's chaotic, it's crazy, it's unrealistic, all of that. It's everything that I signed up for when going into that theater. I knew what it was going in, and I enjoyed it. Like, a little bit too much CGI, maybe, for my liking, but I look, they make you love monsters, and that's all I can ask for.
Yeah, I love the chaos. The monsters, you know, Kong, you know, beating another monkey with the monkey was like one of the like moments. I was just like, did that really just happen? Like,
the suplex was my personal favorite.
Oh my God. The Godzilla suplex is probably top tier right there.
It really was sort of like Monster Royal Rumble, huh? Like, yeah. You had all these monsters. And like, here's the thing. If you're going to go see it, don't go in thinking about it. Like, it's not a plot heavy movie. I mean, they talk a lot, but like, don't try to think about what's happening. Just enjoy large monsters rumbling on screen with one another.
My favorite part about it, as someone who's watched all of them, the Godzilla movies, is like, in the first one, they're like, these things have been here for hundreds of thousands of years and we never knew. And now, like, a new one wakes up every other week.
Yeah. Right. And they have locations of all of them. One's chilling over there.
They're all over the world. They're popping up. There's a million of them all over the place. And randomly they wake up and they fight. And then, some humans do some things and at least keep most of humanity from getting destroyed. Although the monsters do a pretty good job on the cities of Rome and Rio de Janeiro. So those cities, according to if this movie is canon, those cities are mostly not on the map anymore.
No, they're gone.
You know what's going to happen, right?
There are hundreds of thousands of deaths.
Vin Diesel is going to be the one that takes, Dom Toretto is going to be the one that takes out Godzilla. It's going to meet in Rome. It's coming full circle.
I mean, yeah, no, absolutely. That's kind of the way this series ends is, you know, it's like a Fast and Furious, Jurassic Park, Godzilla, all like three crossovers. And that's how all those series are going to end. So anyway, yeah.
And Diesel will be standing tall over Godzilla and Kong.
I mean, 7 out of 10, Florio, what would you give it though? Because that's mine.
That's about right.
1 out of 10.
Look, I'm a fan of bad. Like, my friends always make fun of me. Like, oh, Florio likes bad. Yes, I do. I want to be entertained for 2 hours when I put on a movie. That's all I want out of a movie experience.
Straight chaos. Like, it doesn't have to make sense.
No, it doesn't have to make it, this movie doesn't make sense at all. So if that's if you're not if you don't need it to make sense, enjoy this movie. Go buy some popcorn and enjoy the afternoon. That's all I'm gonna say about it. I've also told you that both of you have to go see Godzilla Minus One.
I 100%. Need to see that.
Actually, we have some people in the chat too. Grayson Red saying, fun fact, the new pink form of Godzilla was based off Goku, the Kaioken form. I didn't know that.
Wow. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, actually, I learned something new today. Thank you. Shout out to Grayson Red for that one. It is a, you know, pretends to be a football show here that we do. So at least I have one like semi fantasy related story. Saw this earlier today. Story about the Titans backfield, right? They bring in Tony Pollard in free agency. They already have Tyjae Spears. They lose Derrick Henry. And offensive coordinator Nick Holtz says he thinks they are a kind of a 1A, 1B situation. I feel like we sort of were afraid of this when Tony Pollard came in. But now, LQ, hearing this out loud, how do you feel about this backfield?
It's a little nasty. I would take the value here, obviously, in drafts, you know, with Spears being that he's an explosive back. I think Tony Pollard will be what he was last season. Not much of a guy that's going to break away the gap between him and Spears. So they will be utilized, you know, on the field at the same time, 1A, 1B, like he said. But it's going to be a fantasy nightmare for a lot of managers.
I mean, Florian, I'm assuming you're just taking the guy who's cheapest in drafts at this point.
I might just stay away altogether. I my fear is that this is going to be a lot like the Pittsburgh Steelers last year. And I went back and looked at both of these guys, and like they are very they're as pass catchers as runners. They're very similar. So I was excited for Spears before they signed Pollard, but they gave Pollard money, so I don't think he'll ever go away. Like, I don't think it's possible that Spears just outplays him and they give him a whole bunch of work. I keep saying I wouldn't be surprised if this is like the Steelers last year, where not a great offense. There's two running backs that eat off of each other's plate, and like there'll be some weeks where you're like, oh, maybe I could start this guy. But overall, you're never going to feel great about it. And they're probably both going to reduce each other to be RB3s.
That's my fear. But right now, at least in best ball drafts, Spears going about 30 spots later than Pollard. Pollard, the RB22, Spears, the RB34 in best ball drafts. It just is so weird to me that they have two guys that have very similar skill sets and how they're going to fit them into an offense that, let's be honest, was not the most prolific last year when it came to scoring. And look, they lost their best player. I know Derrick Henry was getting up there a little bit, getting older, but he was still their best offensive player. He's gone now. Yeah. We're not sure what Will Levis can totally be. It is not the most stable situation right now in Tennessee. Question in the chat from Maggie said, I wonder if it'd be possible to talk a little bit about how you ended up as fantasy analysts and as hosts of this podcast. This particular show, we just came up with it on our own. I think this was like a brainchild of Laquan and Florio, and I'm just sort of along for the ride. But as for how you got here, Florio, your quick elevator story about how you landed here.
I had a lot of different jobs in this space before I worked at the NFL Network. I was doing like a radio show gig on the side, fantasy sports. I was writing for like The Athletic and some paper, like the New York Daily News, stuff like that. And then I just saw an NFL research job for fantasy, applied for it thinking it was in Manhattan. It wasn't. Moved out to LA. Shout out to Graham Barfield, because when he was here, he was like, you should write for us 100%. So I started writing. Then I started doing player stories for the app. And then COVID happened and you guys had a little bit of a shortage and they were like, hey, you want to jump on Fantasy Live? And I was like, hell yes. And then kind of been off the ground running ever since.
What's your story?
My story, man, I was just hanging out with a couple friends back home. You know, we started a fantasy league. I ended up winning that league the first year. And then people started asking me questions at work amongst my friends and stuff. And I made my own YouTube channel, and kind of the rest is history, where I just started putting, you know, my content on platforms. I started off on Facebook, Instagram, and then finally found Twitter. And that's kind of where, you know, the momentum game, where I became to get a following and stuff like that. And then, you know, 1-4 a.m., you know, morning on a Tuesday, I believe it was, I applied for an NFL researcher job similar to Florio, and thinking, you know, the job will be remote. And then boom, it's in L.A. And then I'm here now.
I love how you guys both thought, like, I get to stay on the East Coast to do this like NFL job. And then they're like, no, man, you got to come to Los Angeles.
I walked by daily the NFL office in New York. I was like, oh, I'll instead of getting off one train station, I'll take the train two more stops and then I'll just work there. And it was on like the third interview I found out it was in L.A.
Oh, nice. That's funny. I mean, my story real quick. I worked in radio and sports radio in various forms for a number of years. Found out that from a former coworker that the NFL was hiring. They were looking for people seasonally. I went online. I literally went to like NFL.com/jobs, applied for like five or six things, most of which I wasn't qualified for. And eventually the one they called me back for was writing about fantasy. I'd never imagined it as a career. At that point in my life, I only played fantasy mostly just to be social and either keep in touch with old friends or make new friends. I never really thought about playing it on a competitive level or anything like that. But it beat what I was doing, which is basically sitting on my couch, freelance writing and watching old episodes of Law and Order SVU. So, you know, I did the interview, I got hired. I started here as basically a copy editor, you know, reading other people's copy and editing it and occasionally doing some blog posts, doing the occasional cameo on a pod. And then fortunately been able to sort of work my way up the ranks. And August will be 13 years that I've been here. Longest I've ever been at one job in my entire life. So
nice.
That's the long and short of it.
This will actually be for me as well. I just realized because, yeah, I'll be 7 years in August.
Wow. Congratulations.
Longest I've ever been at one place.
Yeah. Longest I've been at one job. So that's the short version, Maggie. I'm sure if you know we ever met in person and you wanted to sit down and you know if you were willing to buy us a beer, I'm sure we could tell you more in depth about exactly what exactly went on there with all that there. Other things that that are going on right now. I love that you tweeted this, Laquan. Rams about to have two wide receivers finish inside the top 15 again. You're putting out here Cooper Kupp and Puka Nacua workout videos.
Let's go.
I love that you're like, it's hype. It's workout hype video season. Like, let's be honest. This is you getting fired up about the Rams. This isn't even about fantasy right now, right? This is you, you putting out some Rams propaganda at the moment, right?
Cat's out of the bag. But I do believe it. I am a true believer of it, man. They could have two wide receivers finish in the top 15 again, because 18 and 19, it was back-to-back seasons where one of them were Robert Woods and you had Brandon Cooks there that finished top 15. The following year, you had Cooper Kupp and Robert Woods. So I think it could happen with Cooper Kupp and Puka Nacua.
It definitely can.
Yeah, I don't think that's a ridiculous statement.
But let's go.
My thing is, if that's going to happen, I'm on Cooper Kupp's side all day long because Puka Nacua, you're taking as in the first round as the wide receiver six. And I loved Puka Nacua last year. I think he's a very good wide receiver. It's also, I think, possible that his rookie year might be his best year in the NFL.
Wow. Oh, it will be.
Whereas I think Cooper Kupp, like we're getting, I took him in an underdog draft yesterday, pick 41 as my wide receiver three. Like
that's lovely.
Fourth round. That is. I'll take a three-round discount and get what I still believe, when healthy, is a top five wide receiver walking the planet.
I agree.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's it. Like I think the general consensus is, unless there's a guy that you love, 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 if there are guys that you feel like can finish fairly close, I tend to lean toward the guy I can get at a bigger value. And right now, that is Cooper Kupp, who's underdog wide receiver 25. You said you got to pick 41. The average is like 38, basically. So you were pretty much right on where a lot of people are taking him at this point in drafts. I mean, I think with both these guys healthy, I think there's absolutely a chance they both finish as top 15 wide receivers. So you're looking at low end wide receiver one, high end wide receiver two, possibilities for both of them. The Rams are going to be, they're going to be pretty good this year.
Extremely good.
They're going to be, very competitive this year. They're going to cause some problems.
Pending Matt Stafford's health. That's the biggest.
It all falls apart. If he's injured, man, like from the running game, the guys on the perimeter, it just falls apart for fantasy as well. So hopefully Stafford, please, I'm begging you, stay healthy.
For the Rams, for the sake of the Rams, That's going to be the case. Although, when you guys go and draft Michael Penix, then you'll have somebody else back there to back him up.
I keep hearing this. It's either Bo Nix or Penix, and I'm okay with both, to be honest, because I'm just staying focused on this season with Matthew Stafford's health, and we go get another ring, baby.
They're trying to draft someone around the same age as Matt Stafford.
I mean, yeah, why does Les Snead love old quarterbacks?
I cannot answer that question. I don't know. I do not know.
To answer C.K. Jackson's question, yes, we do read the chat. We answered Maggie's question. We took a comment from Grayson Red. And yeah, we would love to see you start a German NFL fantasy podcast.
That'd be huge.
I don't know this for a fact. I would be willing to bet there probably is one out there somewhere. We definitely know of Spanish language fantasy podcasts. We know there are plenty in the UK. I would be willing to bet that someone somewhere has started a German language fantasy pod.
But some people in Germany listen to our podcast, which still is mind-blowing to me.
Right? But you know, here's the thing. People in other countries actually know multiple languages. It's just us Americans that struggle against it.
we really struggle against it.
Hey, look, man, I haven't done my Duolingo for the day, but I'll make sure I get my 15 minutes of Duolingo in so I can, brush up on my Spanish, get a little stronger. And one day I'll try to have at least basic level conversation with our pal Mauricio Gutierrez about Star Wars, fantasy football. I don't know, something like that at this point.
That'll be dope.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Calling all men. When was the last time you had a really good cry? A recent survey found that women cry on average 5 times a month, while men cry on average only once a month. Studies have shown that crying can support your mental, your physical, and your emotional health. I'm Radhi Devlukia, and on my podcast, A Really Good Cry, we push against typical societal norms. We embrace the real, the messy, and the beautiful, providing a space for raw, unfiltered conversations that celebrate vulnerability and allow you to tune in to share, connect, and find comfort together.
Our tears come as a way to let us release what we can't hold anymore.
I trust that no one's ever going to find out those deepest, darkest secrets. Yeah,
it's been a hard day. She walks out, and this is what she looks like.
Oh my gosh, give her an Oscar!
Listen to A Really Good Cry with me, Radhi Devlukia, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Other weird things going on. Patrick Mahomes. Normally, we talk about people blocking for Patrick Mahomes. In this instance, it's Patrick Mahomes blocking for somebody else, namely his 3-year-old daughter, keeping her from watching the solar eclipse and potentially hurting her eyes. It's a little cute video.
Yeah. He got some quick feet there.
He does have, I'd hope so. I mean, look, as somebody who watched him, shred my team in the fourth quarter and overtime to win a Super Bowl, yes, he has quick feet to get out of trouble, or I guess prevents other people from getting into trouble, sort of what it is.
We all experienced pain last season.
she was walking straight looking at the sun.
Full zen.
Did either of you guys, experience the eclipse earlier this week?
No, I was working path to the draft, so
I was in the basement. I went outside. I was at home. I went in the yard and I was like, let's see it. And it got a little bit dimmer, but that nothing compared to Bills posted a video. Their entire Buffalo went nighttime and all you saw was their stadium lights. It was pretty cool.
That's kind of scary though, right? Like it just bright as day and then all of a sudden night. Like what happens?
I have a friend who lives kind of in the Dallas area and he was in the path too. And he sent some pictures that we could kind of see it. He said the pictures don't do it justice. He's like, it's absolutely amazing to watch it in person. I did the whole fifth grade science thing where I took a colander and held it over a piece of paper So you could kind of see the shadow. Like if you looked at the right spot, you could kind of see the shadow there. So like, yeah, shout out to Mr. Wizard. Yay, science. Like I felt like Jesse Pinkman. Yes, science.
magnets.
Yeah, you know, so that was my experience with the eclipse this week. Question from Crown Me Twice in the chat here. Outside of CD and Ferguson, anybody else from Dallas you guys would feel comfortable using a draft pick on? I'd say Dak for sure.
Yeah, I'll take Dak. Yeah. I'll take Dak. I'm still confident in Dak.
Underrated, I feel like.
Yeah, definitely is.
Yeah. I feel like the good and bad of Dak is embodied in Cowboy fans themselves, right? Because, like, Cowboy fans never seem perfectly satisfied with Dak. But the moment anybody that's not a Cowboys fan says anything critical about Dak, then Cowboys fans rise up as one to attack that person.
They will attack. Absolutely. Every time.
Even from a look, Cowboys fans are crazy and they can have their opinions on Dak and everything. But like from a fantasy standpoint, he was the QB3 last year, fourth in points per game. And like looking at his years where he stays healthy the last few years is like he's been the QB3, QB7, QB2. And we never talk about Dak as one of the top fantasy options.
That is true. Because I honestly like looking at some of the quarterbacks in the top five, like I'll probably take Dak before I take Patrick Mahomes this season. And I'm pretty confident about taking that, you know, because I think Dak right now, underdog's like QB6 or QB7 right there. And I'd rather just go ahead and wait a round or two and get Dak Prescott instead of Patrick Mahomes sitting there at the QB5.
Yeah. I mean, look, here's Dak is a great fantasy quarterback. I think he's a pretty good real life quarterback, too. You know, I don't know if he makes it into the tier of the elites, but he's a very good quarterback. And I think part of the reason we don't talk about him is because he isn't sort of that tier where he's not, you know, you're not reaching for Dak, right? He's not being drafted with the Allens and Hertzes and, you know, Lamar Jacksons and, you know, whatever. But he's also not one of those guys, like if you're a wait on a quarterback person and, you know, he's not going with the Jared Goffs or the Brock Purdy's or anybody like that. So he sort of comes in that middle tier, guys who are pretty good that you feel like you can rock with more often than not. But you're not, you know, you're not fighting, you're not elbowing people to get to Dak Prescott when it comes to, you know, to the draft board or anything like that.
His last 5 years on a per game basis, he's been QB3, 1, that was a shortened season where he only played like a month, 8, 15, and 4. Yesterday we were talking about QB tiers and we all agreed the first one in whatever order you want, Allen, Hurts, Lamar, Mahomes, maybe not LQ with Mahomes, but I think that'll be the first four off the board come draft time. After that, I know I said Richardson, Stroud, Burrow would be a group for me. I think Dak belongs in that tier as well.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I absolutely think that's fair. By the way, to also finish up the question from Crown Me Twice, I would also take a draft pick, use a draft pick on whoever the Cowboys draft as their running back, right?
Agreed. Because Jonathan Brooks.
Okay, maybe not Jonathan Brooks. Right? Well, and it's not about him as a person or an athlete. It's just he's a guy coming off an ACL. Recovering. Right? Yeah. He's coming off an ACL tear, and who knows exactly when he's going to be ready to go. So maybe not Jonathan Brooks. But if they draft, you know, I don't know, another running back, then I would probably be in on that. Because that guy is probably going to get the first crack at being the starter.
Maybe.
I just want to see Deuce Vaughn get an opportunity. I know he can't be the lead guy, right? But he could be a
special teams.
Speaking of DST. which if you haven't caught, if you have not caught the podcast, go check it out because we talk on it. Laquan did some research about defense and special teams on the fantasy side and what could be the future for this year based on the new kickoff rules. So it's an interesting conversation at the end of this most recent podcast. You can go check that out. Braden Hill wants to know who will have the biggest impact among rookies for fantasy this season.
It's hard. It depends on landing spots.
I think it's one of the receivers.
One of the big three.
If I had to pick a position, it'll probably be wide receiver.
It's you know, whoever gets the best landing spot between Marvin Harrison Jr., Malik Nabers, and Romo Dunze.
I don't know if it's a hot take at this point. My hot take is that like 1A, 1B, but I would if I'm the Cardinals and I'm sitting there and I need a wide receiver, I think Malik Nabers is the best in this class. But yeah. It feels like Marvin Harrison Jr. is going to end up there, and that landing spot's going to be better than any realistic one for Nabers, at least, I would say.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Yeah. But I think it's a wide receiver is the answer, the short answer to your question. And we'll kind of figure out, which one it is based on sort of what happens with the draft. Last couple of minutes before we get out of here, Grayson Red says, whether fair or unfair, Dak has not won in the playoffs much. That affects our perception of him. Yeah, maybe. I think because we're so rings obsessed probably doesn't help.
my question to Cowboys fans is the grass is always greener, right? What are you going to realistically do that is better than Dak?
That's the problem. Because like, especially because he's better than average, you know, like it's not like those years where the Bengals were kind of stuck with Andy Dalton, like he was just good enough to keep you competitive or whatever. Like Dak is better than Andy Dalton was. He's just not an elite level quarterback, and there's no shame in that, but I think that might have something to do with it.
It reminds me like with Justin Herbert too. People are always like, well, he's overrated. He's not really the sixth best quarterback. He's the eighth. And it's like, who cares? Like, he's not the problem.
You're splitting hairs now.
Yeah.
Right?
Like you're not going to get better than him there.
Chill out.
Just accept it.
Last one real quick from Jonathan B. Will JSN have a major breakout second season? I'm going to say no, not a major breakout. I think he's good. He's just stuck on a team with two really good veteran receivers, and a quarterback who's good enough, but not great. Not great enough to support three guys, I think, on a heavy level.
No, I think he's on his Drake London run right now, where we know he's good, but we just have to wait for that breakout when some things change around him.
Do you think the change in OC might help? Because Waldron was kind of like, I have a system. It's based around these two wide receivers. Now they brought in the dude from Washington who ran a pretty good three wide receiver set from what I've seen.
Yeah, I mean, I think it helps a little bit. But I also think that, we've seen the best of Geno Smith, too.
Yeah, that's the thing.
I think we've seen the best of Geno Smith, and I'm not sure that he can support all three guys on a very high level. I think, I don't know that there are a lot of quarterbacks out there that can support three wide receivers. So I still think JSN's a good player. This isn't like me saying he's bad. I just don't know that the circumstances allow for him having a second year breakout. So anyway, I think it's a good spot for us to pause. Plus I have a dentist appointment. I have to go get my teeth all cleaned up.
We expect you in the chair, actually.
I moved it just so I could be here with you guys. Thanks. Anyway, go check out the podcast. The link is in the chat. You can go check it out, or you can just go to iTunes, Spotify, wherever you find podcasts, and go check out the latest edition of it. We'll be back with you next week for another edition of the podcast. We'll be back with you next Thursday for another edition of the Cheat Sheet. So we are always grateful for all of you who jump in the chat. Shout out to Kyrie Douglas, who's leaving us.
Batman.
We appreciate you, all the work that you put in. Hopefully this is not the last time we talk to you. We are, as is custom here around our network, we send people out into the pasture for 5 months out of the year. And then maybe we call them back. So hopefully we would love to have you back. It's up to us. Kyrie comes back. But in the meantime, we appreciate all the work you've put in on this show, on the podcast, on everything you've done for us over the last several months. So enjoy the offseason. Go get some sun. Go enjoy the beach.
Enjoy
the beach. And hopefully we'll talk to you again soon. For the rest of you,
turn up.
I promise that we will talk to you again next week. So thanks for hanging out with us here on the Fantasy Cheat Sheet. See ya.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Calling all men. When was the last time you had a really good cry? A recent survey found that women cry on average 5 times a month, while men cry on average only once a month. Studies have shown that crying can support your mental, your physical, and your emotional health. I'm Radhi Devlukia, and on my podcast, A Really Good Cry, we embrace the real, the messy, and the beautiful. Listen to A Really Good Cry on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.